Five Scoop Live. Hi, this is Irene Watson. I'm your host for today. Well, today I'm really delighted to be speaking on the phone with Dr. Sandra Levy-Sarin. She is the author of Stolen Secrets. It's a story about a woman revealing her most intimate sexual fantasy, which could actually lead to murder. We're going to be talking about sexual fantasies with Dr. Sarin, but first a little introduction. Sandra L. Sarin, Ph.D., a native New Yorker, resides on the California coast. A practicing clinical psychologist for nearly half a century, she is a diplomat from the American Board of Family Psychology and fellow of Academy of Family Psychology. She has appeared on Oprah, Good Morning America, and BBC. Sandra has reported on mental health research and answers queries in the weekly health column, Ask Dr. Sarin. Her most popular column was published in newspapers all over the and for many, many years. A premarital counseling specialist, her books, Essentials of Premarital Counseling, Addresses to the Mental Health Professionals, and Look Before You Leave, A Premarital Guide for Couples, were published by Loving Healing Press. Sandra has a passion for writing fiction. Prescription for Terror, the first in her Dr. Corey Cohen mystery series featuring a psychologist, was published in 1999. The second, Stolen Secrets, was published recently, and that's why we're talking to her today. And she's going to be followed by Imposter for Hire later on this year. Hi, Sandy.
Hi, Irene.
It's such a pleasure for me to talk to you. And you have written a very interesting book, and I just want to read a little part of these synopsis so that our listening audience kind of gets an idea where we're going to go with this interview. A straight-laced patient in San Diego running for district attorney is threatened by a midnight phone caller who knows her dirty secret, her fantasy of living as a prostitute, a secret she shared only with Dr. Corey Cohen, which is her therapist. Wow. Let's talk about these secret fantasies that people actually have. I know that this is a fiction, but from your experience as a psychologist, I know that you have probably run into many stories.
Well, actually, you know, sexual fantasies are not something patients willingly will talk about. They're ashamed. They're afraid that their therapist will judge them, even though they know me to be non-judgmental. You know, if they got to the point where they know that I'm not judgmental, they still find it awkward and difficult. It may come about when something happens in their lives that makes them want to share this fantasy, where they become frightened by it. For example, in the book, the woman became frightened with her fantasies, even though she had discussed them with the therapist. She had become frightened by it because she had actually, they turned into something real for her. And that became scary. And I think that when the fantasy starts to move into some kind of reality, that's the point where a real patient, not the one in the book necessarily, but a real patient will then get will be more willing to, because she's frightened or he is frightened by it, more willing to share it. But something so very private, sexual fantasies, and everybody has them. And, you know, when I think nowadays it might be a lot easier than it was when I first started out as a therapist, because people share so much with the face on Facebook and Twitter and all these social media things. They almost feel anonymous in some way. It's not at all anonymous. It's really something that everyone can see. But because they are not there in person, they're more willing to share. And I see that kind of stuff happening even online, when people will have discussion boards where they will discuss things that are very private because they feel somehow protected, because it's not a face-to-face confrontation. But some of the fantasies that people have are living as a man when one is a woman, or living as a woman when one is a man, homosexual fantasies, with a fear, sometimes that becomes fearful, and then they will discuss it in therapy. But there are all kinds of fantasies. I can't elaborate on how many there are.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
It depends upon the individual. Fantasies about having sex with one's uncle or one's aunt, you know, if they happen to be attractive people. Having fantasies with one's spouse's friend, with your friend's husband or your friend's wife, with either sex or both sexes, fantasies of having sex with multiple partners at the same time, multiple people at the same time, fantasies about having it with animals, you know, having a pet and wanting the pet to do things for you, you know, sexually, licking you, you know, your genitals or whatever. There are a multitude of things that people can fantasize about.
So let's just go back to the psyche, Sandy. Where does this all start? Why do people have sexual fantasies?
Oh, I think that's a hard question to ask, why people have sexual fantasies. I can't make a generalization about that. People have sexual fantasies because there are unmet needs. They may not be feeling attractive. They may not feel that they are wanted by another, by a possible partner. They may find somebody overwhelmingly attractive, and they just, there's a chemical connection that they feel with this other person. They
mm-hmm.
just gravitate, like a magnetic attraction rather than chemical, I should say. Well, I don't know, maybe it is chemical.
Mm-hmm.
There are hormones. I really don't know. I don't think I'm really especially an expert in this field.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, I understand, and I like the fact that you said unmet needs, because I think that probably a lot of fantasies, not only sexual, but, you know, as humans, we have other types of fantasies, too, and quite often the base is that our needs are not met.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
If one has the need, let's say one has lost a job, you've
mm-hmm.
lost a job. And you are so very angry because you feel that you did a very good job and that you were one of the best employees. In fact, the person who fired you was not as good as you are.
Right.
You may have fantasies about wanting to do him or her harm.
Yes.
You may
yes.
have fantasies about taking over their position because you know that you could do a better job.
Mm-hmm.
Those
mm-hmm.
fantasies, you know, here you're unemployed and this guy or gal is making a lot of money and you're struggling. That makes you angry.
Okay.
I mean, people have fantasies about killing the president,
mm-hmm.
Killing a governor, or, you know, some political figure that they feel is running the country the wrong way. And they do. Look what happened. Well, the guy was obviously sick with that thing in Arizona.
Exactly.
That shooting.
Mm-hmm.
He's mentally ill. So, I mean, so where do we go with that?
Exactly.
Needs, you know. We started with unmet needs. If you let's say, going back to the sexual fantasies, if you are not having a satisfying sexual life, and that's important to you, you can have lots of fantasies about who you would want to do it with, how you would want to do it, how many you would want to do it. You know, it turns you on. It excites you. Some people have masturbatory fantasies, which are, you know, obviously, you know, the sexual, and they help them to achieve some pleasure, even though they're doing it to themselves. They're
right.
feeling a pleasure.
So, you know, and some of these fantasies, people do act out, but others are able to contain themselves and just leave them as fantasies. But then I wonder, what really happens to these people that don't act out? Because acting out is a type of a release, and I'm not saying that that's a good thing to do, especially when, you know, there's stalking involved or rape or whatever, and
right.
or killing someone like they did in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm wondering what really, you know, what happens to people that do have these fantasies that just keep building up and building up. And, you know, how do they actually release them? Or how, what do they do?
Well, that depends upon the individual.
Mm-hmm.
I think that most people can contain their fantasy. But I think people who, let's say, are celebrities, feel they don't have to keep it as a fantasy. They can realize their fantasy because they have the power of the being famous. Being famous is extremely attractive to the opposite sex.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So let's say you're an actor, and a very attractive actor, and you play very romantic roles. You can feel, well, I can have any woman I want.
Right.
And it's true. They almost any woman they
mm-hmm.
want
mm-hmm.
will accept them because, wow, Tom Cruise. Oh, I don't know why I used him. I can't.
He's good looking.
I can't stand him, but I think maybe some women do. I find him very unattractive when they accept me. Anyhow, somebody like that,
mm-hmm.
you know, some attractive Hollywood star. Even when we look at what's his name, the golfer.
Right.
Yeah, they can
Tiger
get
Woods.
Any.
Mm-hmm.
They can get anyone they want. Yeah. Almost anyone they want would find that person very attractive, and be eager
mm-hmm.
to be in their company. It's a thrill to be with a celebrity, and to have that celebrity want you. Wow, that's really power. So they act out. I think celebrities are more apt to act out because they can. They have the power to do it. And they're not afraid of being found out.
That, I find that very interesting that they're not afraid. There's something that's just happened that it doesn't – it's almost like they want to be found out because then that puts them into more limelight.
A good point. They may want to be found out because it puts them in the limelight, but it also punishes them for something that they realized was wrong.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's all unconscious. This is not something that they plan to happen. I think the urge to do it, it's very very tempting, and they don't resist temptation. They don't have to. You know, when you're a celebrity and you go to a fancy restaurant, you don't look at the price on the menu.
Right. Yeah.
You know, other people can. They can have anything they want.
Mm-hmm.
They would see this house. It's several million dollars. Well, sure, why not? They can have anything they want. Wow, what power.
It is. It just does come for power. And that takes me on to the next thing I think that I'd like to bring into this, is sexual addiction. And so when this all started coming out with, let's say, Tiger Woods and, you know, a lot of the people in politics and...
Mm-hmm.
Then all of a sudden Dr. Drew came in, and sexual addiction seems to be something that is talked about.
Yeah, there are sexual addicts for sure. I don't know Dr. Drew, so I've never watched his
mm-hmm.
television show, I believe. It's a TV
yes.
show. Yeah, I've never watched it, so I really can't speak about him. But I do know that sexual addictions do exist. To the extent it exists, I do not have any statistics.
Yeah.
I think that when it's on television, it's because it's so, it seems so exciting, and people want to know about it, you know. So that's why they have a program called, is it called Sexual Addictions? Is that what he that all the time?
Yeah, I've drawn the blank, but that's, he does talk a lot about it, and he's often called as an expert on sexual situations too.
Okay.
So yeah.
I really.
Mm-hmm.
He's never mentioned in the psychological literature, so I've never really known about him. Anyhow, but in any case, I think that I don't know how prevalent it is.
Yeah.
But certainly, it's interesting to other people. It's titillating. It's very, very titillating to hear about somebody else's sexual proclivities and where they're going with it. It's tempting because it's different. And it's exciting.
I think a lot of that, too, is because, you know, our society has been looking at sex as just something that's in a secret or only in the bedroom, and we don't talk about it, although we are talking more about it now. But
right.
Not very long ago, growing up, too, it's like something that I never, ever would discuss with my parents, or they would discuss with me, and it's like we're talking more about sexuality and sexual addictions and sexual fantasies more in our society than we had been in the past. And what I was saying is when I was growing up, that, I mean, that is just something that we never talked about. It was just you know, and,
So, except in private, we would discuss it. I remember discussing these things with my fellow students, you know, when I was in, I don't remember whether it was in college or maybe even in high school. We talked about it, but it was always amongst, you know, a small group of people, a best friend or three friends together. I'm sure guys do that probably more than the women did.
Yeah,
because they're much more sexual than most women.
But this is something that we never discussed with our parents.
Right.
Oh, my goodness. It was
it's taboo. It is taboo.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And we'll be back with more Inside Scoop Live after these important announcements.
Inside Scoop Live is a global internet-based broadcast specializing in interviewing published authors about their current books and areas of expertise. I'm Juanita Watson, the host of the show, and invite you to join me as I bring to the air both well-known and upcoming writers. You will hear my guests talk candidly about their books, their life experience, specific topics, and the business of being an author in today's literary world. Always interesting and current, my intention is to bring our audience high-quality discussions that spotlight a vast diversity of authors in the field today. Our interviews are syndicated and archived for availability 24/7 through direct podcast and MP3 download. And as always, I love to hear from listeners. Have a look at our website, InsideScoopLive.com. Send me an email, comment on previous guests, and let me know who you'd like to hear on the show. I'll do my best to bring you your favorite authors live and direct.
Welcome back to Inside Scoop Live. Today I'm talking with Dr. Sandra Serene, author of Stolen Secrets. And as you've heard so far, we're talking about some topics that aren't generally discussed. So stay tuned because there's just so much more. And by the way, if you want to look up Sandy, her website is drsandralevyserene.com.
Sure.
So with modern technology comes a lot of different things, and one is, of course, cybersex, but, and that's apparently, I don't have the statistics in front of me, but I did find them at one
point.
It's so high. And that's, I guess, because people can actually do these fantasies or have this cybersex without anybody knowing.
Yeah, I really like to talk about cybersex. The reason I like to talk about it is because it has come into my practice so often. Yeah, and I try to, what happens, I think it's really a big mistake that it's usually the man who is the one who is hunting those sex sites. And when his wife finds out, she becomes livid. She becomes so angry as though he's cheating on her. And they don't seem to realize, the women, the wives, do not seem to realize that this has nothing, it may have absolutely nothing to do with her. It's his own, he's meeting his own fantasy without disturbing her. He doesn't want to disturb her with that activity. So he does it, and you know, there's something so great about doing it privately.
Yeah.
You know, it becomes even more special because you're doing it privately. Nobody knows you're doing it, and you're not really harming anyone. You're not harming her. And this is what I try to explain to the women who come in very angry. I said, do you think he knows this other woman? Is he in love with these people on the TV or the, the computer screen? Do you think he's really in love with this person? He's not married to this person. Do you think he wants to wine her and dine her and woo her? He's just getting off. He's getting off sexually because it's better than if he constantly comes after you when you're not ready or willing. He's relieving some steam, and maybe he's had a bad day at work, and this is a great outlet for him. So,
I suppose the women the wives specifically feel betrayed?
They feel betrayed, and it's not only betrayal, it's a jealousy that is totally unwarranted, you know, and this is funny.
Uh-huh.
Yesterday we were in the market, and there was a woman at the opposite, we were checking out, there was a woman at the other checking out right opposite us, and you couldn't miss her. She had the most enormous boobs. And she was a skinny little woman.
Uh-huh.
And I knew they were obviously to be. They must have been enhanced. But in any case, she revealed practically everything but her nipples.
Uh-huh.
So I poked my husband. I said, "Have a treat."
You're funny.
And then after we got into the car, I said, "You know, how many women do you think would give this, their husband this gift?"
Well, obviously you trust him.
What's he going to do? Why not enjoy looking at her? It doesn't bother me if he looks at her. If he went after her, that's a whole different story. But it's not about to happen. She was, she was two-thirds his age. I mean, he's two-thirds her age.
Right. Talk a little bit about relationships. Relationships have changed over the last, I don't know, 10, 20 years. And what used to, you know, when I'm looking back at my parents and their relationship and what I'm looking at relationships in this era, there seems to be a big difference. And I'm just wondering if you are noticing this too, or what is really going on?
I don't know exactly what you mean in terms of. Go ahead, give me an example.
Well, for instance, like, let's use you as an example that, you know, you said to your husband, "Have a treat."
Right.
And I just can't imagine, let's say, going back to my parents, my mother saying something like that to my father.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I don't know even how many women would do what I did yesterday. I have to think about that.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Some women might just prefer that he didn't see, because he might be comparing her with the wife.
Uh-huh.
And then he might feel that he is not getting what he could, or something like that. You know, so I think one has to feel very secure with oneself in order to be able to do that.
Exactly. And there again, you know, what is security? So you have to, in order to be secure, you really need to be really stable within oneself.
You have to feel good about yourself.
Uh-huh.
In order to feel that your husband isn't going to find somebody more attractive, and even if he did, I mean, there are going to be people who are more attractive than you or me or whoever we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
There are some exceptionally good-looking people around, but just because one is good-looking doesn't mean that that people can't look at them with, I'd like to get her in bed. Yeah,
yeah.
He might feel that way, but so what? Is he going to do it? The important thing is, you know, what you want and what you do are two different things. You know, "I'd like to kill my boss," he said.
Uh-huh.
I knew he didn't want to do it, but
right.
he said that because he was so angry with the boss.
Yeah,
yeah. So,
and sometimes it's a figure of speech, too.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah.
But angry, and I'm angry enough to kill.
Uh-huh.
I'm angry enough to spit. I'm angry enough to, you know, whatever.
Right.
Knock him down, you know. I want to get even because
uh-huh.
he hurt me so, you know, lost, you know, taking away my job, and now my children have to, you know, are not going to go to college,
right.
whatever.
Uh-huh.
You know?
There's anger involved. So,
sure.
Seems to me also, well, of course, we know that the divorces are on the rise, too, and what is it, like half of the marriages end up, or maybe it's even higher now in divorce.
No, actually, it's getting lower.
Is it?
Yeah, the reason why
tell
it's
me.
Lower, well, I'll tell you why it's getting lower. It's purely economical.
Interesting.
People can't afford to live apart. They may live in the same house. I have one couple now. She lives upstairs, he lives downstairs.
Oh, okay. And for economic reasons, they don't divorce, and yet they're not able to live with each other.
Exactly.
So I'm just having kind of a hard time with this picture, because if they can't live with each other, are they able to live their own lives and, you know, let's get into other relationships, or is there still that bond that's there because they're still living in the same house and not divorced?
Well, I'm not saying it's an ideal situation. I think it's a terrible situation.
Yeah.
I think it's a very painful situation, and I think they'd be better off if they moved in with roommates. But sometimes there's a mortgage involved, there's house payments. It's purely economical that they do stay together, but it's a very small percentage from what I have read.
Uh-huh.
You know, there is a small percentage. It used to be that 50% of people, I don't know, this statistic is a few years old.
Yeah.
About 50% of marriages end in divorce.
Right.
It's probably now maybe 49% end in divorce, maybe.
Uh-huh.
But it's getting that there are less, fewer divorces, and I blame it on the economy because I cannot find any other reason. Why they would be doing, why so many. Each case, of course, is different.
Of course.
But it's even painful when they have kids, you know, when the parents are not getting along. How awful for the children to see that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's and it's a whole other story.
Yes, it sure is. And speaking of stories, Mandy, tell our listening audience a little bit about your book, Stolen Secrets.
Well, it's I enjoyed writing that book.
Uh-huh.
I did not have a patient. She does not resemble anyone I ever knew.
Oh.
the woman who is the who the book opens up with, Morgan Heller, who is running for district attorney in San Diego. And I never had a patient who was a district attorney. And I just thought she would be a very interesting character to write about, because she was a very devout woman, and I've seen people like that. She's kind of like a composite of people that
right.
I have seen in the past who did have sexual fantasies, prostitution fantasies, but never acted on them. I just felt she was such a viable character because I could weave a plot around her. Because if she weren't running for an office, it would not be important what her fantasies were or that she had them. What was the important thing is that someone found out about it and she was afraid it would be used against her, because prostitution fantasies are not very common. And she portrayed herself as being a very, very straight-laced person. And therefore, it was so out of character that if people knew about that, they would not want to vote for her. So she was running for DA of San Diego County, and that was why I chose that kind of character, because I thought it would be, I thought I could write, I don't want to give away the plot.
No, don't.
but in any case, the whole thing really had to do with how could the secrets possibly be stolen? How could her contract been broken when Dr. Cohen, my alter ego, I'm nothing like her, but anyhow, she's maybe what I would like to be, when Dr. Cohen was so very, very careful in her record keeping, everything was locked up, she had a security in her office that was really almost, you couldn't break through her security. How could this happen? How could anyone know? Surely the secret couldn't have come from her office.
Mm-hmm.
But lo and behold, other secrets started coming out from other patients.
Uh-huh.
And then she really, really got scared. And I don't want to give away.
Okay, we'll leave it at that.
Yeah, but there were other things that occurred, and that made the mystery even deeper. but I had to make her somebody of some relative importance so that it would make sense that somebody would want to find out something bad about her.
Well, it's, you know, sort of parallels with some of the reality here and the secrets that are coming out, let's say, with some of the politicians. So, you know, it's, and that's enticing to readers because it's in the news now, too. So this is great, Sandy. Your website address?
Sandra Levy Sarin at my website, dot com. Let me do that again because I think I didn't do that right.
Okay.
My whole name is Sandra Levy Sarin, so you just stick a www in front of it, and you put a dot com after Sarin.
So it's Dr. Sandra Levy, L-E-V-Y, Sarin, C-E-R-E-N.com.
Right.
Great. So there you go, listeners. I encourage you to check this book out, Stolen Secrets, a Dr. Corey Cohen mystery. Our reviewer loved it. She loved the book and found it was just a real page-turner and couldn't put it down, so I encourage you to do so, too. And thanks, Sandra, for taking the time and talking to us and talking about a topic that is interesting and yet sometimes maybe not talked about enough, but understood, definitely. So I do appreciate you coming on the phone with me and chatting, and I know that our listeners also enjoy this.
Well, thank you very much, Irene. It's a pleasure talking to you. You made the interview very, very easy for me.
Well, thank you. And this is Irene Watson with Inside Scoop Live. Please come again and listen to others. Bye for now.